Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. This is the word of God. Lord, please be with us this morning. May my words be pleasing to you, Lord, and may our hearts be receptive to what it is that you have to reveal to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning. You may be seated. Thank you. Well, this morning, today is a special day in the church calendar. It is the first Sunday of Epiphany, meaning revealing or manifestation, and it's the next story of chapter in the story of Christ, where the church embraces Jesus as the light of the world. This period, it takes us all the way to Ash Wednesday. Well, today is also the last of our mini-series titled In Pursuit. Last week, Pastor PJ talked about God pursuing us, right? And the importance of us joining him in the pursuit of others. This week, I'm talking about how we pursue God. And I'd venture to say that if we make pursuing God the passion of our lives, there is nothing more amazing than the God of the universe wanting to have a relationship with us. It's crazy. I have a story to share with you. As you know, if you've heard me preach before, I like to start out with stories, and I want to start out with this one. So, the week of Christmas, I received an invitation. Here it is. I received this invitation. And it's the kind of invitation that I have been just dreaming about, honestly. There's like, ooh, I can't wait. Anyway, I was tipped off by a friend of mine who is what I like to call the connector of all connectors kind of friends. You know, his network is like this ginormous spider web that spreads from, you know, here to China. And anyhow, he called and he said, "Hey, remember how I got you connected to Tenacious Faith?" Now, I'll just tell you, Tenacious Faith was a women's conference, and I was able to travel to, like, Nashville and did something in Chicago and so on, and I was able to speak to a group of women. I said, "Yes, of course." And he said, "Well, this is bigger than that. This is way bigger than that, in fact." So he starts to tell me a little bit about it, and I thought, okay, this isn't right. This isn't true. He's just giving me a hard time. And he told me, though, that it was true and that I needed to get ready for it. And I was like, yeah, right. And I'll be preaching at the Vatican soon, too. But, you know, then this invitation arrives, right? I get this invitation in the mail, and it's similar to a fancy wedding invitation. And I couldn't believe it. You know, I'm looking at it, and so I checked the address to confirm that it was indeed for me. And sure enough, it says Mrs. Dawn Pulgini, and the address was mine. So, yeah, that's me. So I start to read it again, and here's what it says. It says, the former First Lady, Mrs. Laura Bush, requests the honor of your presence. And I was like, check the envelope, check my name. Here we go. So then I start recalling the conversation that I had with my friend and thinking, no way that what he was talking about is true. There's just no way. So I continue, and it says, you know, I'm invited to this inaugural gala launching of the National Young Christian Women Leadership Conference in Dallas, Texas, on April 4th at 7 p.m. at the City Club in Dallas. And I was like, what? How do these things happen? This is crazy, right? So back to the envelope, looking at the stamps. Is this legit? Okay, wow. You know, and I had heard about the NYCWLC, where women leaders in the Christian faith are coming along to lift up millennials and younger to grow and build Christian leaders. And, you know, they've commissioned 10 people to be on this panel, and one of them happens to be Beth Moore, and the other one happens to be Priscilla Shire and Kay Arthur and all these huge women ministry leaders. And I was like, what? And then here's the thing. Here's the coolest part of all. It says in this little invitation that they would like me, peon Dawn, little Dawn, just lives in Aurora, doesn't know anybody super important. They want me to deliver the opening devotional. What? How does this happen? That friend of mine, he's pretty neat. But you want to know, you know how there's sometimes a good news and a bad news about everything? So the good news is that I was invited, and this was super cool, and it's something I've always wanted. And then the bad news is I can't go. That's the worst part of it, right? It's the real bummer. I can't go because it turns out that I have a dentist appointment that day. I have a dentist appointment. Can you believe it? It's true. I do. I have a dentist appointment at 3:30. You know, I'm sure it would have been awesome, but how can I cancel my dentist appointment? Like, my dentist is super hard to get into, and gosh, I'm super busy, and what am I going to do? And so, you know, I had to decline. Okay, here's the truth. I made that all up. Yes, in church, I made a fib, and yeah, I probably won't be here next, you know, you won't see me again. This is the last time you'll see me because I fibbed in church. Really, this invitation was a friend of mine, her daughter got married last week, and that's, you know, where I got the invitation. And so there is, sadly, no conference with this title, although I'm thinking about starting it, because I think it's kind of a good idea, don't you? And I'm not going to this gala because, well, there is no such thing. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I fibbed to you right here in church. But what if I did get an invitation? And I told you I wasn't going because I have a dentist appointment. Well, I did say that. And what were you thinking? Are you a fool? You gotta cancel your dentist appointment, right? You'd be thinking I was a ding-dong. You'd be like, reschedule your dentist appointment. Who cares about your teeth, right? They don't matter. You gotta go. Cancel your appointment. Well, this morning, what we're looking at is that the God of the universe has pursued us, and he invites us to respond. You can forget about presidents, celebrities, CEOs, politicians, and other important people, because the God of the universe has pursued you, giving you an invitation to seek him, to pursue him, to share your life with him. You know, looking in my own mirror, I often say to him, sorry, Lord, I have a dentist appointment, right? You know, I'd really love to hang out with you more, Lord. I would really love to know more about you. I would really love to read your word more. I would certainly love to pray more, Lord. And I'd love to dig deeper into your character more. I'd love to invest more time in intimacy and make you a priority in my day today. But Lord, I've got a very busy life. So, when I stand back and I think about it, I got to say to myself, don't be an idiot, Dawn. Cancel the dentist appointment. So my hope going into 2019 is that each one of us will embrace the value of pursuing God. And beginning next week, as Pastor PJ already mentioned, we're going to ask you to not only come, but to invite some friends to join us for this 7-week series. We're going to be digging in and answering deeper questions such as, does life have a purpose? And is there a God? And, or, you know, another one is Christianity too narrow? Those are just to name a few. And so why should we make pursuing God a priority this new year? Because it's what God wants. Do you know that that's what God wants from you? So the word explore, it has a few synonyms that we will be addressing today. So when I use one of them, you may assume that they are interchangeable, such as pursue, explore, seek, knock. So when I say these words, you can just use them interchangeably. So I'm going to teach you a bit about our text today and what it means, and then we will delve into applying it to our lives, okay? So how many times have you heard Christians say, or you know, maybe you've even said this yourself, so-and-so is not a Christian, but he's searching? Have you heard that before? Yeah. So-and-so is searching, is not a Christian, but he's searching. It's a common statement among Christians, the idea that there are people all over the place who are searching for God, right? Their problem is they just can't find him. They just haven't been able to find him because, you know, he plays hide and seek. He's pretty elusive, that God of ours. I don't think so. You know, if you think back to the beginning, to the Garden of Eden, when sin entered in the world, who was hiding? Who was hiding? Adam and Eve, right? Was God hiding? No. Did, you know, Adam and Eve didn't come say, hey, God, look what we did, you know, right? No, they were hiding. Well, coming through the Advent season, we know that Jesus came into the world, born an infant, to seek and save the lost. Jesus wasn't hiding. God is not a fugitive. We are the ones that are on the run. How many of you are familiar with the devotional, Jesus Calling? Yeah, it's a pretty popular one. I want to share something. I want to read something from it. Just, it's a brief little thing here. And I do have a bookmark this time. Listen to the love song that I am continually singing to you. I take great delight in you. I rejoice over you with singing. The voices of the world are a cacophony of chaos, pulling you this way and that. Don't listen to those voices. Challenge them with my word. Learn to take mini breaks from the world, finding a place to be still in my presence and listen to my voice. There is immense hidden treasure to be found through listening to me. Though I pour out blessings upon you always, some of my richest blessings have to be actively sought. I love to reveal myself to you, and your seeking heart opens you up to receive more of my disclosure. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Isn't that lovely? You know, often we give up after a few half-hearted efforts and conclude that, you know, God cannot be found. Or maybe he's just not available. You know, he's just busy doing something else that's more important. But, you know, knowing God, it takes purposeful, persistent seeking. When we do, Jesus assures us that we will be rewarded. Today's scripture is a part of the Sermon on the Mount. And as most of you know, it's a description of the truly righteous life, an outlining of the law of Christ. And these two verses are specifically directed at prayer. So what did Jesus mean when he told us to ask, to seek, and to knock? While all three may seem equivalent, the commentaries I studied say there's a rising scale of intensity in our prayer lives, the level of persistence in seeking God. So first we ask, and then we seek, and it gets a little more intense, and then we knock, and it's even more intense from there. So we pursue God in prayer by asking. That's where we're going to start. We start with asking. When Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you, or ask and you will receive, continual prayer is in view here. Asking is communicating our needs and our desires to God. Of course, I mean, God already knows what our needs and our desires are, but being the fact that he is omniscient, what he's asking, he wants us to ask. It's part of that personal relationship thing, right? Asking in prayer means that God has chosen, that's the way he's chosen to bring about answers when we ask. And you know, Jesus isn't saying here that believers always get what they want. I mean, we know that, right? If you live, you know, longer than 5 years old, actually longer than 2 years old, you probably know you don't always get what you want, right? because wrong motives, for example, would hinder answers to prayer. However, you know, the more time we spend in communion with God, the more we will know what to ask for in accordance to God's will. When we ask God, the more we will know what to ask for in accordance, the more that our needs and our desires in prayer, what they do when we ask for these things, it shows our dependence on God for the needs that can be met no other way. And you know what? God is always pleased with such displays of faith. Ask and you will receive. Seeking. Jesus then says, seek and you will find. What is it believers ought to be seeking? What should we be seeking? God. We should be seeking God himself. And if you don't believe me, I'm going to back it up with a couple psalms for you. I won't give you the addresses. I'm going to just rattle them off. So here we go. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. I like this one. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who keep him in with their whole heart. Friends, God is not hiding from his children. His heart's desire is for us to persistently and passionately look for him. And he promises that he will be found. You know, our first reading from Jeremiah said, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. Seeking is a matter of paying attention with an engaged mind and an acute awareness. Earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Seeking God's kingdom means putting God's plan before our own. Seeking God's righteousness means setting a priority on personal holiness and desiring to be sanctified or be made more like Christ. Knocking. Jesus continues, knock and the door will be opened to you. Here the Lord uses a metaphor for the action a desire produces. If a person needs something from someone behind the door and you can't open it, it's locked, right? You can't get in. What do? The natural thing to do is knock, right? And you knock and you knock and you knock and you keep knocking until the door is opened and the desire is met. Well, in the same way, a believer should pray in faith for God's provision and be persistent in prayer, never giving up. Ask, seek, knock. Notice the three different senses being considered here. Asking is verbal. Christians, we're supposed to use our mouths, right, and petition God for our needs and our desires. Seek involves our minds, right? This is more than asking. It's a setting of priorities and a focusing on the heart. And then to knock involves physical movement, one in which the Christian, we take action. Although asking and seeking are of great importance, they would be incomplete without knocking. The Apostle John said, Christians ought not to love in word alone, but with actions. And you know, I don't think it's an accident that Jesus said believers should love God with what? All of their heart, soul, and mind, and strength, right? This, my friends, is the definition of godly pursuit. Asking, seeking, knocking. This is the beginning of experiencing God. This is loving God, really. And you know, many of us believe that God wants all kinds of things from us. I was reading a little poll, and it said that when asked, what does God want from you? The number one thing people said was money. Anyway, so that was the number one thing. The number two thing was a new attitude, right? A new attitude. I want you to stop doing this, or I want you to start doing that, the thing that you don't want to do, but I want you to do. Yeah, so some people thought it was a new attitude. Some people thought that works. That was like the number one thing is that God wants us to do all kinds of good things. And that those are all good, by the way. I mean, we have to give to the church. We have to give to the poor. That's part of what we do. That's proving our Christianness, right? But you know, the one thing that God wants most of all that no one in this entire congregation can give him besides you. No one. No one in this 5,000 member church can give God this one thing that he's asking for the most but you. And that's your affection. That's your personal affection. In the book of Micah, chapter 6, there's this famous verse. Some of you are probably familiar, and it says, he has told you, he is God, told you, O man, God would tell us anything is amazing, what is good. So God is telling us what is good, and here's what it is. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love mercy, and here's the number one thing, and to walk humbly with your God. To do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Well, how do we do this? By pursuing through prayer. That's where it all begins. It begins through prayer. By asking for peace and patience and blessing. By seeking knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And by knocking so the door may be opened and you may experience the love and fellowship of God. You know, God says, walk with me, Dawn. Walk with me. God says, walk with me, PJ. Walk with me. Walk with me, Robert. Walk with me. Walk with me in joy and in sorrow. Walk with me in death and in life. Walk with me in the grocery store and in the gym. Walk with me while changing diapers and washing dishes. Walk with me in the boardroom and on the golf course. Walk with me. And you know, this is a corporate invitation, friends. It's not just for pastors. This is for all of us who believe in Jesus. Do right and love mercy. But what I want you to do is I want you to walk humbly with me. So, if this is what God wants, then we should make pursuing God the passion of our lives. But some of you may be thinking, yeah, that's great, but how do I fit it into my already crazy life? I got a lot going on here, Dawn. What about me? And I'll tell you what, there is nothing more important than seeking God and making his priorities your priorities. And guess what? When we do that, when we don't do that, it's only a matter of time before we find ourselves, what? Hiding again. We go back to hiding. The psalmist, he puts it like this. They wandered in the wilderness in a desert region. They did not find a way to an inhabited city. This is our culture, you know. Psalmist goes on and he says, they were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble and he delivered them out of their distresses. He led them also by a straight way to go to an inhabited city. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. For he has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good. Many are walking around in our culture, walking around with this crater in their soul, the size of the universe. You know, we all have craters, right? We've all have craters in our souls that cannot be filled by anything earth-sized. It must be filled with something God-sized. So we've got this invitation from God to walk with him. And we've got this soul that was made for God. And when we marry these two things together, right, and start pursuing God and enjoying a relationship with him, God is happy and we are satisfied because we were made for him. Isn't that great? When we pursue him, we are satisfied. Some of us have been stuffing the whole world into this big old crater. And in effect, wandering in a desert. And some of us, our soul is wasting away within. I've got some news for you. You have an invitation on the table to seek the Creator God and to know him intimately. I love the way King David, the psalmist, responded to this invitation. You know, because King David, he recognized in himself that he had a big old crater, right? He made some bad decisions, but he loved the Lord. So he recognized this invitation. Here's how he responds in Psalm 27. He said, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." I read about this church in the South where the pastor tells his congregation every week, it's a weekly thing, and he says to them, stand up and tell God what you need. Every week. This is what he does. And apparently there's one guy in the church who's becoming quite famous for this. He faithfully stands up every week. And instead of God telling about his earthly needs and what he wants, he shouts, "God, all I need is more of you." Every week. "God, all I need is more of you." Of course he has other needs, right? He fix this, mend that, forgive this, provide for that. But every week, without fail, the one thing he asks for is, "God, give me more of you." So I'm going to wrap this up here. I want to leave you with some food for thought, and the pun really is intended, and you will see in a minute. As you ponder who you might like to invite to our Explore God series, because we all know someone who is wasting away in a desert, I want you to think of this. While they are beginning to explore God and asking those deep questions, or maybe it's you. Maybe you're here and you're trying to figure it out and you're exploring God and you need to know, and that's great because that's where we all begin. We all begin by asking questions and trying to figure this whole thing out, right? The one thing I want to tell you, though, is we can't stay there because there's a difference between knowing about God and actually knowing God. And I'm going to illustrate this through what Pastor Louis Giglio, calls the Gospel of Krispy Kreme. So, how many of you are familiar with Krispy Kreme donuts? Raise of hands, please. Okay, I knew most of you were. Okay, so, if you aren't familiar, you will be after today. For those of you, when you see this box, right, you know that something is up, right? You know that something good. It's a special day. Like you walk in the office and this is sitting on the counter somewhere, you're like, oh, it's somebody's birthday, right? Something good is going to happen that day. And no matter what kind of day you're having, life is going to change in that moment when you see this good old box. And if you know anything about Krispy Kreme, you know that these puppies were purchased what? What does it say when the red light's on? Hot and ready, right? Hot and ready. And they were laid in the box, just like so. Well, I cut these up because we're going to share them today. They were laid in the box, hot and ready. Well, you know, Krispy Kreme, it's been around since 1937, and you're going to love this. Their mission statement is this: to touch and enhance lives through the joy and experience that is Krispy Kreme. Oh my gosh, could we have not had a better illustration? I love that. 20 varieties, but we all know it's all about the original glazed, right? It's all about the original glazed. You know, the folks in the home office in Winston-Salem, they're not all jazzed up because, you know, somebody's going to tweet that Don Pulgini in Naperville, Illinois was talking about Krispy Kremes today, right? And they're not all jazzed up just because they have 20 varieties or the fact that they, you know, have 1-884 call, you may call 1-884-CRISPY to get more information from them, to hear lots of facts or go to their website. They make these, and I'm going to hand some out. They make these donuts not for information. I'm going to start with the choir. What do you think? We're going to go ahead and pass these around. Go ahead. You may pass one around, take a bite. Let them know if it's any good. They don't make the donuts for information, friends. What do they say? They make the donuts for what? So that you can experience them. It's so that you can experience them. You know, there's a tremendous gulf between information and experience. When you go from knowing about God to knowing God, you will be able to say the same thing that the psalmist said. I love this. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Isn't that great? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Now listen, don't start grumbling because I'm going to break your New Year's resolutions for all of you who decided that you were going to watch what you were eating January 1st, because I've got some Krispy Kremes out there outside the sanctuary today for you to sample. It's not, and this is why, it's not good enough for you to sit here and watch them eat a Krispy Kreme, right? Right? And it's not good enough to walk by the table and go, hey, wow, look, there's a mound of Krispy Kreme donuts. Would you believe that? So cool. I know their mission statement, by the way, to touch and enhance lives, blah, 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 and, oh, 20 different flavors, da, 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 da. No, it's not enough until you come by and taste it. You got to take the donut, you got to put it in your mouth, you got to chew it up, and then you say, yeah, yeah, that's a cream. That's a Krispy Kreme. How could the psalmist pen that? Taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Does this resonate with you? You've got an invitation, friends. It's a real fancy invitation from God. Don't miss it because you have a dentist appointment. Seek him so you may experience his goodness. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for this morning. I thank you, Lord, for your word and for your church and for your people. And I thank you, Lord, for Krispy Kreme donuts. Lord, as we go forth in this new year, may we set our eyes and our minds and our hearts on you, Lord, that may we pursue you. That every morning as we plant our feet on the floor, as we get out of bed, we say to you, Lord, give me more of you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.